This past week saw the Patriot Act come under scrutiny, examination, even attack, which was led primarily by Republican Senator and presidential candidate Rand Paul. The result was an end to the Patriot Act. Now, while that was cheered by libertarians, the question is, did Patriot Act opponents get what they wanted since it was replaced by the USA Freedom Act? Here to Monday Morning Quarterback all this is the chief congressional correspondent for the Washington Examiner, Susan Ferriccio. Good morning, Susan.
Hey, great to be here.
And, of course, it's WashingtonExaminer.com for Susan's writings and the other great journalists at the Washington Examiner. So, you know, just as a starting point, Susan, other than the government and the NSA having their, I guess, fishing license revoked, what's really different now versus before?
Well, it's nothing for now, but within 6 months, the National Security Agency will no longer be able to collect in bulk domestic electronic and telephone data. Instead, they will have to request it from the phone companies who already store that data. And to get it, they'll have to use a warrant, and the whole process is supposed to be more transparent when they do seek that warrant, and there will also be on hand when the FISA court decides whether to issue a warrant, someone arguing on behalf of privacy. So it's almost like they've put some safeguards in place to, I think, prevent the federal government from just accessing private information when it's not necessary or in excess. And I think that's what the USA Freedom Act proponents believe their legislation will do. And that, of course, is what passed the Senate yesterday. It's already passed the House. Of course, the president supports it. It's going to be law. And this will all happen within a six-month period of transition from the current process, which is the National Security Agency collecting in a dragnet fashion all of this data that Americans are sending around every day on their phones and emails.
And we should say, too, much like with the NSA, the phone company collects just the general mechanical activity, not necessarily the content of the calls.
That's correct. And I think one of the arguments that proponents of the current law were making is that they believe there's a misconception out there that people think that the government is eavesdropping on their calls. They're not doing that. They're tracking, though, the phone number, the time, you know, kind of the shell of the call, I would say. They're not digging into the contents of the call. And I guess that's the argument in favor of the current law, that, hey, what's so bad about that? And some people think that is pretty bad. Others don't realize that and think a lot more is being eavesdropped on by the government. And so I think there are a lot of people yesterday who were trying to argue in favor of the current law by saying that there are misconceptions out there. But it was an uphill battle in the Senate. The majority leader, Mitch McConnell, was unable to amend the legislation to give the NSA more powers to surveil. Those amendments failed, and basically the reform law went through the way it did in the House in current form without amendment. So it's a compromise, really, between the current law and just getting rid of it entirely. And that's where it stands right now. I think people feel it's a victory for privacy and civil liberties. But there are people who feel this will make the country less safe because the NSA will not be as fully empowered to monitor for terrorism threats.
It would inhibit them from being as proactive as they want versus reactive after something happens or as something is in the process of happening.
No, I think it's not quite to that degree, but they don't have as quick and easy access to data. It will take longer for them to get this information from the phone companies. It's untested, and it will require the phone companies to look for the data on behalf of the government after they obtain a warrant. So, as you can imagine, that process will take a little bit longer than their current way of doing things, which is they have immediate access to the information because they're the ones who are collecting.
Exactly.
So it's an issue of speed. It's not necessarily let's wait till something happens, but it will slow down preventative surveillance and that sort of thing when they have a suspicion that there's a number that needs or there's activity out there that may need further investigation.
Start with Susan Ferriccio, who is the chief congressional correspondent for the Washington Examiner, WashingtonExaminer.com on the web. And you are listening to Issues and Ideas. In that transition period, too, they mentioned, Susan, 6 months. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell actually wanted a two-year transition period just because of the degree of untested elements that are within the now versus then situation.
Yes, he wanted two years. They knew they weren't going to get that, so they reduced it to 1 year and introduced an amendment extending it from 6 months to 1 year. And senators rejected that yesterday pretty resoundingly. And they also wanted to make other changes that would require the new system to be certified by the Director of National Intelligence. In other words, we'd have a government entity stepping in and seeing whether or not this new setup will actually yield enough information to thwart terrorism threats on domestic soil. And that was also rejected completely. And so there are no additional safeguards that McConnell was looking for to the USA Freedom Act, because the people who are supporting the USA Freedom Act said it's fine just the way it is, and we don't need to backtrack on it any further.
Now, on the political side of all of this, what was in it for Rand Paul other than the ability to money bomb after all this took place? Because literally after the Sunday vote, even before the clock struck midnight, I think they had the emails all set to fire off. You know, Rand Paul's fighting for you, libertarians, send us $25.
Right. I mean, trying to make money for a presidential campaign is a really important thing. But also important is to get name recognition. I think he's using this event to try to launch himself higher in the polls, because there are huge factions of people out there who really are concerned about civil liberties being violated by the government, and someone like Rand Paul could appeal to them, and he wants to make himself known to people for this, and it has a chance to push him higher up in the polls just simply by people saying, hey, look what Rand Paul's doing. You know, he got a lot of attention for it, particularly on social media. He was in the news. I mean, this is like a free campaign ad. You cannot undervalue something like that when the field of Republican candidates is so enormous. And nobody really has a distinct advantage at this point. It's a wide open competition. So for someone like Rand Paul to be able to jockey ahead of things using the actions that he took, he had those extended remarks, so-called filibuster, and then he held up the Patriot Act. I mean, he achieved something pretty significant. You know, he feels that he's responsible for the law lapsing for a few days. And that's the sort of victory for civil libertarians to say, hey, we stopped this thing. It was only for a few days, but Rand Paul said, I'm going to put a stop to this, and he did it. So, you know, I mean, that's really pushing it in the direction of people who support, you know, less government intrusion. And that's a big victory then for Rand Paul. Now, he didn't earn any friends in the Senate for doing this, or not many anyway. Definitely a few were on his side. But he wasn't out for the Senate. He was looking out for himself and for this issue that he's long been passionate about, which is that the government surveillance should end for all Americans and only be used in certain instances. And I think he got his point across loud and clear.
And even in what, as you referred to, the crowded field and still growing almost every day, it feels like, of the GOP nomination race, a lot of people say that Paul was able to separate himself from his closest libertarian / anti-NSA competitor, Ted Cruz, by accomplishing something that Ted Cruz wasn't able to do.
Right, and Ted Cruz wouldn't want to. He voted for the USA Freedom Act. Ted Cruz is less, you know, in terms of where they stand on foreign policy, Ted Cruz is more aligned with the leadership. But that's why he voted for USA Freedom, though, is that he thought the NSA surveillance went too far, but he didn't think it should go away entirely. Whereas Rand Paul is much further to the opposite end of the spectrum, which, of course, is that you should get rid of the NSA surveillance.
Well, no doubt we'll have a little fallout still to come, and certainly watchful eyes on a system that in many elements is untested. But that's for other minds to watch and to ponder. But if you want to get to the facts and the inside baseball talk of what's happening in the chambers in Congress and the White House, the Washington Examiner is the go-to place. Susan Ferriccio, their chief congressional correspondent, is one of the go-to people. You get the facts, WashingtonExaminer.com. Susan, thanks for being here this morning.
Thanks very much.